Good morning. It's good to see you. Good to be back in God's house. Appreciate you coming in this morning. Another beautiful day. We're coming to the close of our study on the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be talking today about Paul's comments on relationships, how that God created us to have relationships one with another, and that it's very important. You know, when he first created Adam, he realized really quickly that he needed someone in a relationship. He needed a helpmate. And there was a need in society for people to be able to relate with one another, and in particular, Christian people. And Paul's going to get involved talking to these Christians in Ephesus about the importance of their relationships internally in their own family and in society itself. So we want to talk a little bit about that today. Hopefully, I've got a lot to say. Hopefully, it won't be scattered. Hopefully, I can keep my mind focused and go step by step. But hopefully, we'll learn something today. Before we get started with it, let's go to the Lord in prayer for any needs and requests that you may have that you would like to be outspoken. If you'll just let me know, Debbie, I see your hand. Member Shannon. Got COVID. All right. Lori. Bill Wood. Yes. Yes. Remember Bill. I'm sorry. Tom. Tom's sister passed away yesterday. Remember the family. Yes, James. Right. Absolutely. Nellie? Mary McGuire. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Wow. What's his first name? Bobby. We'll remember Bobby. Yes. Remember Brother West at Homesick. Dixie?
My son has been dealing with some major health issues. And my daughter Sue got a phone call last week, and he and his wife, his son, and his grandson, and two boys that belong to Preston's mom, has the viral infection.
So it's Preston's fan. Preston is his name?
David.
David? Okay. Remember Dixie's son David and his entire family. Okay. David and, Aaron and Debbie Beckner. Remember them today. Yes, Betty. Pam is who we need to pray for. Any others? Gray? Walt and Paul. A lot of requests today. So here again, God hears these as these are outspoken, and our desire is for God to move upon them and to lift them up. So let's all pray together on behalf of all these multitudes of requests this morning. Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you again for the opportunity to come together as a body of believers to your throne with our petitions and our requests. For Father, we know that it's only by your grace and mercy that we have the opportunity to bring up our prayers unto you, and that you will hear our cry and attend unto our desires. Lord, we ask, God, that your will would be done because we believe that your will is to heal and to touch and to restore. And we ask for that will to be done upon every one of these individuals who have been named this morning, God, for you know the situations. We are helpless individuals without you, because we can do nothing, but through our prayers we can do everything, Lord, on their behalf. And we ask, God, that you would move strong upon those that we know and those that we don't know, Lord. Situations never take you by surprise, and we ask, God, for your touch to be strong upon them. I pray for this lesson this morning, Lord, that we would be reminded once again that we have relationships that have been established by you and ordained by you, and that we have a role to play in each of our relationships. I pray that you'd help me to teach it. Help keep my mind focused so that I can deliver to each and every one here that is hearing today, Lord, that we can learn from your word and be better Christians for it. I ask these things in Christ's name and give you thanks for them all. Amen. When we talk about relationships, as I mentioned earlier, relationships is part of humanity. It's one of the many reasons, or one of the many things that we do when we separate ourselves from the animal world, is that we have the abilities through our emotions and our reactions on how to have and build relationships one with another. And in the book of Ephesians, you'll remember that the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul is trying to tell or remind the church of the benefits that they have for being Christians, what God has given us. When we accept his son as our savior, well, there's benefits for that. The last three chapters, he is talking to how we respond to those benefits. How do we show the world who we are as Christians? How do we depict ourselves? How do we walk in society as Christians? And when we get into the fifth chapter of Ephesians, he starts talking to this church in particular in Ephesus about how they are to relate to each other, even to the point of inside their own individual families, family units. We know that God created the family. The family is very important, and it is the backbone of society. When God created the family, it was a microcosm of families living together into communities, and then society would be reflective on how solid those communities and family units are. It's one of the reasons I think Satan tries to attack the family so much, is it's a God-ordained unit meant to have relationship power and a hierarchy inside that family unit, where there is a person of authority and people that are submissive to each other and give up their own desires for the benefit of the whole family. And Satan knows this, and he tries to destroy the family, because if he can break down the family, he can break down society. And this is ultimately his goal. And he's got many multiple ways of trying to affect the family, but partly is to destroy the relationship one with another, from a husband to wife to children, even to in society, how we relate to our employers and to our employees, things of this nature. And that's what we want to talk about, because Paul, here again, it's important to understand he's talking to Christian people when he's talking about how we are to relate to another. And before we get into how he gets involved in the actual family, the scripture text starts with verse 22. But prior to that, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, he's talking about how the people in the church are to be relating to one another. And in verse 21, after he's talking about, you know, how you're to relate to one another, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. He's talking about how we relate to each other in our church. In our Christian upon Christian, we are to submit ourselves one to another. Now, submission is where you basically are submitting or giving way to another person of due to their authority or to their position. It's also, when you're talking about relating to another Christian, where we are all equal at the foot of the cross, it is giving up your will and your desire for the best of the overall church. And if you have a church full of people who are submitting their own desires for the benefit and the goal of the overall church, then you've got a good church of relationships, because no one person is standing up and saying, it's my way and this or no way. Being submissive is to say, we are in this thing together for the benefit of Christ, and our fear of the Lord is that we are submitting our will to Christ, and therefore we're taking our desires out of the equation. So he is trying to establish this standard, how we are to relate to each other. In verse 22, he changes things because he gets very personal in how individual families, which are so important and so ordained by God, how individual families are to relate to one another. And in a Western society that we live now, this has caused quite some consternation in these scriptures, because in a world where equality is viewed above all things, when we start setting an authoritative figure or a hierarchy or a person in a position, it can be very difficult to get across in a Western culture. But he starts out talking to Christian women with their husbands present and their children in the room. He is going to break down the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6, talking about the family unit itself. So in the 22nd verse, after he tells all the Christians to submit one to another, he gets even more personal and he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." I want to read on before I come back. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body," meaning that as the head goes, the body moves. If you are the head of the church, then the church moves according to the head. He's the Savior of the body. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ," or submissive unto Christ, "so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Now, I want to stop here and spend some time on this because it's important. You'll notice that in both times where Paul is telling wives to be submissive or to submit themselves, he makes a reference to their own husbands. All right, it's very important to know that Paul's direction from the Lord is that women are not to submit themselves to every man. They're not to submit themselves to other people's husbands. It's their own only. In the form of a marriage, wives are to submit themselves unto their own husbands. Now, when they say submit, that means to observe that God has established the man as the head of the household. That is the role that God has established for the purpose of leading the family.